Hello, class. I'm Mr. Subinson. I'll be your sub for today. For rules, I don't want to see any horseplay, no phones, and no WWE wrestling moves off the top of the desk, all right?
Walking into class and then seeing a substitute teacher is like the same feeling as squaring up to fight a dude and then finding out that dude's blind, bro. Like, you pretty much just gotta show up. And you win. Like, I honestly feel bad for these substitutes, bro, because every day they have no clue what they're showing up to. Like, one day they're walking into a class full of angels, and the next day they're fighting for their life in a class of straight demons, bro. I mean, being a substitute teacher is all about confidence. Like, the moment the sub walks into the class, they're being analyzed. Like, the way they walk, how they dress, and especially how they talk. Yo, if the first thing they say sounds like,
hey, hi guys.
It's raps, bro. If you start the class sounding like an intro to an 8-year-old's Minecraft Let's Play, paper's gonna be thrown, pencils are gonna be thrown, fucking dudes are gonna be thrown, like, it's gonna be straight anarchy, bro. But when the sub walks in the room with a little pep in his step, a little drip in his fit, and most importantly, he starts the class sounding like he's done this shit before.
Hey guys, I'm Mr. Pepinson, and today we mean business.
All of a sudden, people are listening. Everyone except for one man. The class clown. He's gonna see that confidence as a challenge, and bro's gonna start testing the waters to see if this sub is really about it.
And that is how Y equals MC squared. Any questions? Yeah, blue hat.
Yeah, Mr. Pepinson, why are you built like that?
Oh, you mean built like the Rock? Yeah, these are called muscles. You'll learn about them when you hit puberty.
But bro, I'm in grade 11. I've already hit puberty.
Yeah, nah. That's not what your peach fuzz mustache is telling me, buddy.
Okay, well, your hairline is telling me it's going on a vacation, bruh.
All right, let's see your shit then.
Yeah, like, it's not bad. Like, some substitutes are so good, you just wish they were your real teacher. Like, I remember one time in grade 10, I had this math class with one of those teachers who used to yap the whole time and then assign a bunch of homework with 5 minutes left in class. And then one day, a goat walked into our class. A goat who went by the name of Mr. G, or more formally, G-Dog. Now, G-Dog was packing a mean 68 years in his lifespan. However, he had the utmost pep in his step, paired with the drippiest of fits. And he was the type of dude who would lay down some respectable rules, and if anyone broke them, he wouldn't get mad. He would just simply flame the living shit out of you in front of everybody.
And that's how you calculate the surface area of... No text while I'm talking, please.
I'm just texting my mom.
Oh, wow, that's crazy. How's she doing?
Psh, wouldn't you like to know?
Oh, yeah, I mean, I would, actually, because she's probably pretty tired after last night. I mean, I did lay down some mean dick.
But there are definitely some questionable substitutes out there. I remember when I was in grade 6, my entire middle school was just weird, bro. My recess was called Nut Break. My music teacher was deaf, and our principal was damn near bipolar.
All right, who told the blind kid he could say the N-word?
Okay, all right, it was me, but like, I didn't think he would actually say it.
Oh no, that's actually a pretty good one. I mean, I gotta give it to you, kid.
wait, so you're not mad?
No, I'm fucking furious, okay? Get in my office right now.
Okay, wait, I thought you were just laughing. What's going on right now?
Yeah, I'm just messing with you, kid. You're good to go.
Thank you. Thank you.
Good to go out of the school because you're expelled. That is absolutely unacceptable.
are you joking or...
Does it sound like I'm joking?
Yeah, kind of. Yeah, bro, my middle school was weird as hell, so I can't say I was surprised when a substitute teacher walks into my class talking about,
hello class, I'm Mrs. Hutchinson, and I identify as a mermaid.
And I'm only 12 years old, so I'm like, dog, what the actual fuck does identify mean? But bless Ms. Hutchinson's heart, man, cause Lord knows middle schoolers weren't gonna take that shit seriously.
Oh, she's funny, mermaid.
No, class, I'm serious.
Oh, so that's why you smell like the ocean.
Exactly. Wait, what?
And I remember one time this sub walked into our class, and I could have swore they just found this motherfucker on the side of the street, bro. He walked in sagging like crazy, and if he even went to school, this motherfucker most definitely cheated his way through, bro.
Yo, hey class.
So, what are we doing today?
I mean, shit. You're the teacher.
Oh yeah, right. What'd you guys learn about yesterday?
We were learning about agriculture.
Oh yeah, 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 yeah. And I think you're right too, because, you know, the culture we live in right now is very angry, and the anger culture just needs to like take a chill pill. You know what I'm saying? Any questions about that?
What's a chill pill?
Oh, yup, I'm glad you asked. Okay, see, I actually know a guy who can hook you up with some. Just meet me in the parking lot at lunch.
Mr. Sagginson, are you trying to sell us drugs right now?
No. Well, I mean, yeah, but it's for chemistry with neuroscience, or I mean, like for microbiology or something like that.
And these substitute teachers seem to butcher every single name on the attendance. I mean, shit's gotta be on purpose at this point. Like,
hello class. I'm just gonna do some attendance really quick. Correct me if I get your name wrong, okay? Hordan Hansa is Hordan Hansa here?
Okay.
I mean, my name's Jordan Johnson.
Well, you're absent now, so you gotta speak up sooner next time.
Wait, what the fuck?
Maya? Is Maya present?
It's Mia.
Wow, quite the name you got there. It's spelled kind of weird, no?
No, it's not. It's literally three letters.
Ariana? Is Ariana here?
Sorry, it's Ariana.
Okay, and? Like, what's your point?
That's just how it's pronounced.
Juwan? Is there Juwan in the room?
It's Juan.
No, Juan.
And some subs be walking into your class with the most bullshit rules ever. Like,
hey, Mr. Subinson, can I go to the washroom?
Does your teacher usually let you go to the washroom?
I mean, yeah, I think you legally have to.
I don't believe it. Sit your ass down and get to work.
Wait, Mr. Subinson, respectfully, I'm about to shit my pants here.
Wait, does your teacher usually let you do that?
What, shit my pants?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Alright, I'll allow it.
Hey, what the fuck is this guy?
And I feel like there's no greater sense of community among a class than when a substitute teacher comes in. The entire class just comes together to gaslight the fuck out of this poor substitute.
I remember one time in grade 10, me and my homie had a sub come in who was giving us this multiple choice test.
And my homie was the type of dude who'd be getting 0% on everything, and the way his grades were looking, he just couldn't afford to fail another test. So what he did, I just need to preface, I do not condone. But from the moment the teacher walked in, he acted like he needed a little extra help. You know what I'm saying? And to be honest, he put on a spectacular performance. I mean, someone either needs to get this man an Oscar or a diagnosis, bro. And I just acted normal, but I guess by proxy, I got a little extra help. And I don't know what that says about me, but I do know what it means. It means the substitute teacher walked out of that class happy she was able to help two students in need. And it also means me and my homie both walked out of that class with 100% on our tests. Damn, you look high as hell. A little bit too high. Bro, are you good? Damn, I've been there, bro. But don't worry, I know just what you need.
Wait, what's that over there?
Shit, are you still high? Damn, that usually works. You really gotta be high as shit, huh? Alright, listen. Just chill out, bro. I know you probably think you're ODing on Mary Jane, but trust me. You can't. In fact, scientists say you would need to smoke at least 20,000 joints in 15 minutes to OD. And trust me, once you hit the 16,000 joint mark, your lungs will be looking like dehydrated SpongeBob. Oh shit, speaking of dehydrated SpongeBob, you're looking like dehydrated SpongeBob. So here, drink some water. You gotta quench that cottonmouth, and water's always a safe bet to flush out some of that unneeded THC. But you know what tastes better than water? Some goddamn motherfucking lemonade. So find the nearest lemonade stand and absolutely ravage that shit. Leave no lemons to spare, because science says lemons contain limonene, which is a compound that can counteract the THC by calming your brain. Another solid way to calm down from a crazy high is sniffing some peppercorn.
Whoa, wrong line, bro. You're trying to get less high. You're supposed to sniff this one.
Okay, now how you feeling? Damn, still too high? God damn, how much did you smoke? Shit. Oh, I know just what you need. A dap pen. No, listen. This is no regular dap pen. This is a CBD pen. Now, when you take a hit of this bad boy, the CBD compounds in your brain will sit in the chair the THC would have sat in, meaning the THC can no longer infiltrate your brain and convince you there's somebody in your walls. Plus, the CBD can help you chill out a little bit. So here, take a hit. Oh, fuck. Wrong one. My fault. Here's the CBD one. Okay. Now, before I keep telling you everything you should be doing, it's pretty important to hit you with a few common mistakes motherfuckers make when they get too high. Do not attempt any of the following. Call an ambulance.
Call your mom.
Smoke more.
Eat oranges.
Watch horror movies.
Cook with oil.
Start a fire.
Going into a public setting where speaking is necessary.
Spend your life savings on food.
Operate heavy machinery.
Convince yourself you're the only real human person on the planet and everyone else is really just the AI programmed to pretend like humans and everyone you've ever known wasn't even really a human, including your mom, your brother, your home, or driving.
Don't drive.
Now, generally, if you avoid all these dumbass ideas, you should be chilling. So now that we got that out of the way, the best way to ride out a high is to gather all the finest munchies in the game, which include, but are not limited to, ice cream, sweet heat Doritos, Cheetos, pizza, some Mickey D's, milkshakes, Reese's peanut butter cups, pizza rolls, chicken strips, any sort of fruit, and of course, Cinnamon Toast Crunch. And once you've prepared a meal fit for champions, you can then throw on some absolutely amazing top tier YouTube content. Or if you're really trying to get invested, a cartoon. Now, choosing a cartoon is gonna feel like one of the most important decisions of your life, so I'm gonna let you know right now. Just choose anything, bro. Your high ass could sit and watch Cocomelon for hours, so just choose a safe bet, like the most goated show of all time. The Amazing World of Gumball. Now, once you've chosen your show, stop thinking so much and let the show do its thing. Because in just a few minutes, you're gonna be invested. And when I say invested, I mean you will invest your entire consciousness into the show. Like shit. You'll be in the show. You'll be out here posted up with Gumball and Darwin, and you can even chop it up with Gumball's fine ass mom. And before you know it, you're 25 episodes deep, and then you step back and realize everything's gonna be alright.
For most of my life, I've known how to swim. But by that, I mean if my life depended on it, I could swim from one place to another. I don't even know if swim is the right word. Like, if you saw me casually enjoying a little swim at the pool, you'd be like, does he need help? Like, is he drowning? I mean, like, I did take swimming lessons, but I quit at level alligator, bro. I never even made it to level 1. With that being said, this incident dates way back to when I was in grade 4. We were going on a field trip, and of course, it's to the pool. But I'm not stressing. I know I safely passed level penguin, so I should be chilling. My whole class and I walk into the entrance of the pool, but before anyone was allowed in the pool, they asked everyone if they knew how to swim. And I thought, we're in grade 4, there is no way somebody still doesn't know how to swim. And just as I presumed, nobody needed a life jacket. So me and the gang are swimming around, you know, jumping off the diving boards. Fun stuff for a grade 4 field trip. But after about an hour, my friends and I are just chilling in the deep end. And that's when I see a kid in my class named Ben on some floaty things coming in our direction. A little backstory about Ben. For as long as I can remember, this dude has been on my nuts. So when I saw this dude coming in my direction, I assumed he just wanted to say hi or something. But as he made his way towards me, I could tell he was struggling. So I swim over to help him out. Oh, hey, Ben. How are you? This kid jumps off the floaty thing onto me. And this man has the meanest grip on me. Pause. Well, this shit had to be some sort of attempted murder, bro, because he had me in a chokehold and his legs were wrapped around my arms. But they did not prepare me for this shit in level alligator. So instantly I start sinking and I hit the bottom of the pool. Keep in mind, Ben is chilling on top of me with his head out of the water this whole time. So I jump off the bottom of the pool just enough to get my head out of the water for a few seconds. Ben, get off me. And when I look up, I see this dude, Ben, with the straightest face in the world. Like, this motherfucker has no clue I'm out here fighting for my life. And he says in the most monotone voice, I can't swim. Hell nah. I'm trying to fight him off me, but keep in mind my arms are tied up. So I gather all the strength out of my skinny ass grade 4 legs and I jump just enough to get my head out of the water again. Lifeguard, help! Oh, you guys, stop playing around in the pool. That's it. I'm fucked. I'm dead. And out of sheer anger, I decide, fuck it. If I'm dying, you're dying with me. I duck as far as I can under the water so both me and Ben can't breathe. But I'm running out of air. I start to get lightheaded. Man, that's crazy. This is really how I die, huh? And just as I had lost hope, my main man, Bob, comes in on some Superman shit, pulls Ben off me, and swims me over to the shallow end. I cough up some water, but eventually I catch my breath. So that's the story of how I almost died. And it's also the story of why I owe my life to Bob.
So, there are 7 stages of being drunk. All of which I've experienced, so you don't have to.
Drinking? Aren't you underage?
No, I'm 21. Now let's start with stage 1. The process. Stage 1 is one of the most important stages of being drunk. If you've ever heard the saying, trust the process, this fully applies when it comes to drinking. If you don't approach this stage with precision, calculation, and patience, you might accidentally skip straight to stage 7. And trust me, you don't want to skip straight to stage 7. The process is pretty much where you've started drinking, but you don't really feel anything yet. Because when you drink alcohol, it takes time for it to be absorbed into the bloodstream. And some people just don't have the patience to wait and end up overestimating their limit.
I feel fine. Let me take another shot.
Stage 2 is tipsy. Tipsy is where you first start to feel it. It's when the first few shots start to hit and you start to feel a little bit more outgoing and maybe more talkative. At this point, you'll still have your judgment, but I feel like you become a little bit more of a glasses half full kind of person. Walking in a straight line is still easy. Boom, light work. Once the next few shots start to roll in, you'll hit stage 3. Intoxicated. Once you're intoxicated, some of the dizziness starts to set in. You also start to think less about the words you say. And I'm not gonna lie, at this point, I feel like your confidence peaks. Like when you're at a party and you look in the mirror and see Michael B. Jordan, you know you're at the level of intoxication, bro. And to be honest, for parties, I like to chill at this stage because you've got your confidence, but you still haven't lost your riz. And for reference, at this point, you can still walk in a straight line, but it takes a little bit more focus and effort. Which brings me to stage 4. Hammered. This is where you start slurring your words. And bro, at this point, walking in a straight line becomes an impossible task. Yo, dude, can you walk this line really quick?
Yes. No.
When you're hammered, you start thinking a lot less. You start saying things before you can even think them. And it's important to say, when you're hammered, your judgment cannot be trusted. All ideas become good ideas. Yo, dude, what if we set an orphanage on fire? Bro, that's genius. That's what I'm saying.
What are you guys doing?
Nothing. I don't think that was a good idea, bro. Facts. Stage 5 is stupefied. At this stage, you'll have the brain power of a toaster. And honestly, walking in a straight line isn't even a question anymore. Yo, dude, can you walk this? Once you're stupefied, you're just too far gone. You feel like your head is just spinning over and over. Now, at this stage, I would recommend leaving whatever party or setting you're at because you can't function properly. You'll probably end up regretting some of the shit you say or do the next morning. Now, stage 6. Wasted. When you get wasted, it's just regret. Your body is literally fighting for survival. Everything is miserable, and you always promise yourself you'll never get to this stage again. But one way or another, it always comes back. Whenever you're at a party, there's always one person who's wasted, and they're hunched over at the toilet just vomiting, bro. And it just ruins the night completely. So, this might be obvious, but I do not recommend getting wasted. Now, to get to stage 7, you have to do one of three things. First off, you could have not trusted the process at stage 1 and heavily overestimated your limit. Or, you could have been hammered and your judgment was tainted, so you had the idea to take more shots. Remember, all ideas become good ideas. And lastly, you could be going through a serious divorce. And in this case, I'm sorry. I hope she comes back. But stage 7 is blacked out. When you are blacked out, you've lost your consciousness. You're pretty much just slumped out. But your dreams when you're blackout drunk are always the most random and vivid shit, bro. And once you wake up, yo, dude, can you walk this line really quick? So, I think it's safe to say that I would strongly not recommend going past stage 4. But I'm not gonna lie, I have a few times, and I got lots of crazy stories from them too. So let me know in the comments if you want to hear any of these stories. But yeah, I think I should end the video by saying, please drink responsibly.
Man, I don't know about y'all, but for me, having an older brother is like...
Yo, chin check!
Damn, bro, L chin, am I right? Nah, I got you a gift, though.
Damn, for real?
Yeah, open them up.
Oh, these are tough. Let me try them on.
Yup, you know what these are good for, bro?
Yeah, what is it?
Wedgies! I'm not gonna lie, bro, I still love having a big brother. Like, yeah, you get your ass beat bi-weekly. Yeah, these motherfuckers will steal your food, and they be frying your shit for no reason whatsoever.
Chains for real, not as Chipotle for real. Because he's wrapped like a burrito.
Well, let's think about it, bro. What is the alternative? A big sister, bro? Hell nah. These motherfuckers will force you to do your makeup and shit. All right, yeah, pull the plug.
But it looks good.
Pull that shit. Like, pull the plug.
So I don't
pull
think we can do
plug.
That.
Pull the
Damn,
plug.
Are you
pull
serious,
the,
bro?
Man, pull the fucking plug. Like, having a brother's an interesting situation. Because I would trust this motherfucker with my life. No questions asked. But I'm not trusting him with my Chipotle for a second, bro. Like, I was born with my very own number one hater and my number one supporter who just happens to have the same mom as me, bro. But listen, nowadays, I'm a grown-ass man. My brother, a grown-ass man. Now that we're both grown, we get along like PB and...
Jay, yo.
That's what I was about to say, bro.
For real, though. We get along like chicken...
And waffles.
Okay.
Yes, sir, bro. We get along like salt and vit... Nah, I don't get it, bro. I don't know what you're trying to say.
Nah, I mean, what I'm trying to say is if I'm eating,
right.
Worried,
oh, yeah, if he gets into a fight, we get into a fight, yeah.
If someone reads my search history, we searched up Lola Bunny furry buns, lubed up, shaking it wild
bro.
Style, yeah.
Nah, hell nah.
What are you doing,
bro? We didn't do that?
Fuck no.
Okay, yep, no, that's fine. But a lot of shit has changed throughout the years, man. Back in the day, me and my brother were ops, bro, because this motherfucker's sole reason for living and breathing was to rage bait my ass, and I was like 5 years old still figuring out who's milking the chocolate cows and shit, and big bros hit me with shit like,
yo, what's 9 plus 10?
It's 19.
Get a load of this dipshit.
Bro, it's literally 19. Man, what the fuck?
Hey, why are you so mad, bro?
Bro, you literally...
Tyre, relax, bro. Just sit down, take a deep breath.
Who's a good boy?
Yeah, man, who's a... Now, me and my homies used to wrestle all the time, and my record was decent. We're talking like 50 and 10, and at the time, my signature go-to finisher move was the guillotine choke. It had seriously never let me down once until I tried that shit with Big Bro, and I started guillotining my ass beat, dog. My brother's 3 years older than me, so that shit was like a boss battle that you just don't have enough XP for, bruh. Like, when I would pull up on him, I hear boss battle music, my health bar pops up. And I start unloading the clip on this motherfucker, but he's done beat my ass so many times. He's got my moveset memorized and shit, bro. Like, this motherfucker's the Picasso of beating my ass specifically. Like, every time I was getting folded like an omelet, folded like origami. I was getting folded like I was playing poker. The way he just dealt me these hands, bro. And maybe you're thinking, Big Bro got the strong genes, so I got the smart genes type shit. Nope. Nope, not. This motherfucker took those jeans too, bro, and he put them to use. Cause he used to manipulate the shit out of me, bro. Like, I remember one Halloween a long time ago when I was like 4, my mom came up to us with 2 costumes, right? One was Spider-Man with the fake muscles and everything, and the other was Shrek. It was Shrek. Yo, I call
no,
Spider-Man.
No, but I want Spider-Man.
Actually, you know what?
I want Shrek, man. Shrek is cool as hell. Like, what'd he say?
What are you doing in my swamp?
Wait, no, oh, I want Shrek.
Oh, you think he's supposed to be like Mike Wazowski or some shit?
I don't even know.
What are you doing in my swamp?
And this can't just be me, bro. But when we were younger, my brother would teach me some lingo or advanced intellectual informational shit. And I would go around school just spewing out words I don't even understand, bro.
Damn, what y'all got for lunch?
Shit, it's just a little PB&J.
That savage. Yeah, yeet.
Yeah, man. I guess. I mean, my mom.
Okay, Bob, I see some pizza. YOLO. Well, what about Bev's? Bev's, what are we saying?
I got some apple juice.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, man, I love apple juice.
I don't.
Bro, what? Who doesn't love apple juice?
Yeah, well, it's because my brother says that juice has a secret society where all the juices, I'm talking apple, orange, fucking pineapple, get together and they control the bank.
Everybody's watching
shit.
Now, me and my brother would go at it, bro. It was a seemingly never-ending rivalry between us of me getting my ass beat, him beating my ass. Okay, maybe it wasn't a rivalry. Shit, I think I was getting bullied.
But one day when I was 7 years old, everything changed for both me and my brother when we got a stepsister, bro, because she was annoying as fuck. Her name was Alicia, and she was spoiled, bro. Every time she didn't have her way, she would just call up her pops, and it was raps for me and bro. Alicia was getting a princess treatment, and we were getting a fucking peasant treatment, dog. Like, let me tell you a story from my childhood, bro. I was 7 years old, and me and Alicia shared a small room, and it was split right down the middle. The left side was blue, Spider-Man bed, teddy bear, boy shit, right? And the right side was pink, Disney princess posters, Barbie dolls, all the girl shit. And one night, I was in Dreamland, counting sheep, having a wonderful time, and when I woke up, I realized I done pissed the bed, bro. Grown ass man at the big age of 6, pissing in the sheets. Hell nah. I was like, shit, man, I gotta get my act together, bro. So throughout that day, I drank a little bit less water, hopped into my cozy Spider-Man bed sheets, and went to sleep. And when I woke up, I done pissed the bed again, bruh. Fuck, man. Two in a row, I gotta lock in, man. So that day, drank no fucking water. I was parched as hell, but I jumped into bed to finally have a nice, peaceful, dry sleep. And when I woke up, fucking soaked, dog. I went 3 for 3, bro. I was like the LeBron James of waterlogging the mattress.
All right, bro. This shit's just getting ridiculous.
So I go 2 days straight, no water. I'm fully dehydrated. There's not an ounce of water in my body. I finally go to sleep, but this time I wake up to rustling. Movement. My bed kind of shaking. I fully open my eyes.
Alicia just pissed on my bed, bro.
Yo, what the fuck?
Oh, hey, Chains. They will never believe you.
Bro, I hop off the DIY water mattress, run over to my mom's room, and you gotta think about how guilty and schizophrenic I sounded, bro.
Mom, Alicia's pissing on my bed.
Chains, it's possible you wet your own bed while you were sleeping.
No, come here. Look, she's probably doing it right now.
Chains. Alicia's dead asleep.
No, but every single day I wake up and there's just piss all over the Spidey blankets. All
right, Chains, what's next? Alicia's just gonna shit your pants too, bro?
And to this day, nobody believed me except my motherfucking brother, bro, because he's a G. And when he realized how annoying a little sibling can actually be, he was like, shit, I low-key fuck with you, little bro.
Hey, I fuck with you too, twin.
So we started playing some Mario Kart together. He taught me how to play basketball. He introduced me to Minecraft. He even taught me how to make a YouTube channel. And as we got older, big bro got a car. And that shit felt like when Greg and Roderick finally started fucking with each other, bro. We were running around, hitting late-night Severins, eating straight Roderick-ass meals. We were in that bitch like,
brain freeze.
And ever since that day, my big brother's been like my second half, bro. My twin in them. Truly, I can say my big brother is my
vinegar, bro. It was salt and vinegar.
It was on the tip of my tongue, bro. How did I not get that?
What are you doing in my swamp?
If you saw this video, you would know my mom has caught me lacking baked beyond belief before. And after that experience, I really changed my ways. I mean, I was grounded for over a year. So in that time, I decided to get my life together. I started working out, eating healthy, getting straight A's in school. Okay, that's cap, but straight B's in school. Okay, B's and C's, but that's besides the point. The point is, I got my ass beat for coming home zooted, and I never smoked again. Until I did. So, this incident takes place with the man, the myth, the legend,
Bob.
So me, Billy, and Bob are chilling at Bob's crib when Bob says the holy words. Are you guys trying to smoke?
Yeah, bet.
And keep in mind, the rest of my homies had been smoking regularly, but your boy was fresh out of the slammer. I mean, I was pretty much on probation at this point. And on top of that, I hadn't smoked for over a year, so my tolerance had gone to shit. So with all that being said, the smart decision was to simply not smoke. But shit, if you know me, I am not one for smart decisions. In fact, I was one for stupid decisions. So I was out here hitting this hoe like Chris Breezy. I was puffing this joint like Wiz Khalifa. When honestly, I should have been patient and just taking my time, because who knows what my tolerance was at this point. So when it starts hitting me, it hits hard. But the homies were closely monitoring me because they knew if I got caught high again, well on probation, I would be serving 20 to life. So they're out here checking my eyes, checking my heart rate, checking my pulse, and the diagnostic was, I think you're chilling, bro. But progressively, I was getting higher and higher. So as we're there watching the most goated cartoon, The Amazing World of Gumball, I start floating. And I don't know if anyone else has experienced this before, but sometimes when you get mad high, you just forget that you even exist. And you use 107% of your brain power to just think. So I was out here floating away, thinking about some random bullshit. Yo, it's crazy that everyone in the world is either named Quandale or they're not. Wait, what if I'm in a simulation? No. What if I'm in an animation being drawn by some dude on his computer for a platform of entertainment? And a bunch of people know what I'm thinking right now. Hold up. Is a tomato a vegetable or a fruit? But I'm brought back to Earth by a text message. Oh man. Mom. Please come home for dinner at 6. Damn. I gotta be home for dinner at 6. Oh shit, what time is it? It's 5:30. Nah, we can't let your mom find out you're cooked. So Bob whips out his emergency hide how baked you are kit. Boom, hits me with the eye drops to make my eyes less red. Douses me in cologne to cover up the smell. And apparently eating oranges also helps slow down your high. So I leave Bob's crib, and as I'm walking home, I'm brainstorming all the possible scenarios. Either I play this off like a smooth criminal and nobody ever finds out, or I could get caught and I could get sentenced to 30 years. So as I walk up to my front door, my entire future is dependent on how I play this shit off. I take a deep breath and I ring the doorbell, and my brother opens the door. The door was unlocked, dumbass. Fuck, I'm off to a bad start. So I walk into the kitchen, casual as hell. Oh, Chains, how was your day? Oh, it was good. How was yours? Yeah, good shit, we're doing good. Oh, it was good, thanks for asking. Wow, Mom, this mac and cheese looks succulent. Fuck, why did I say that? Who the fuck says succulent? Oh, why, thank you. I switched the recipe up a little bit. Just be casual, be casual. The mac and cheese, it's good. Thank you. What were you guys doing at Bob's? Fuck, what do I say? A twister. Oh, a twister? Yep, twister. Wasn't it just you, Bob, and Billy? Yep, just a good old game of Twister with the boys. Damn, y'all are gay as hell. Yep. not to being gay as hell. I just meant yup in general. Like, you know, like, yup. Chains, are you feeling okay? Oh fuck. She knows. What do I do? A little word of advice. Whenever you're in one of these situations, just cap and say you're tired. Like, it works for everything. Are you high? No, I'm just tired. Damn, bro. Are you depressed? No. I'm just tired.
Help! Help! I'm drowning!
No, I'm just tired. So while I was backed into a corner, I was pretty much on trial facing life. I just used the good old, I'm just really tired. I couldn't get much sleep last night. I think I could even take a nap right now. but thank you very much for dinner. And call me Michael Jackson, cause your boy was a certified smooth criminal. And I moonwalked my high ass all the way into a nap. And goddamn, that nap hit.
Yo, really quick, I wanted to say this video is inspired by Mostly True, the 7 Levels of High video. If you haven't seen it already, go check it out. And I'm not the most experienced smoker, but I generally have 3 stages of being high. The first stage is baked. At this level, you'll start to feel some of the usual effects, like having a dry mouth or dry eyes, but you're still like a normal functioning member of society. It'll make you a little bit happier than usual, it'll make you a little bit more relaxed. But you know that voice in your head that talks whenever you think? It's like it gives that voice a microphone. Your thoughts pretty much just become louder and kind of more important in a way. But one of the major side effects that will hit you at this stage is munchies. You're gonna have the urgent desire to absolutely annihilate your cabinet. Your appetite is crazy, but all the food gets like a power up. A $2 junior chicken from McDonald's becomes a delicacy, bro. And on God, I'm not fat, but when I'm baked, I can eat like 10 of them. And that brings me to stage 2, faded. As soon as you're faded, your thoughts ascend to a different realm of thinking, bro. It's like being baked, except everything is more. Like, the munchies increase, the dry mouth gets drier, and your eyes get more red and more dry. At this point, it's like when you're at the dentist, you know, they use that little vacuum thing to suck all the like moisture out of your mouth, and then you're left like with your mouth just dry as fuck, and you're kind of just sitting there like. And if when you're baked, it's like your thoughts got a microphone, now it's like you gave your thoughts like a megaphone with big ass speakers.
I want hot Cheetos.
At this point, a lot of people get paranoid, especially if you're in a public setting, because you're just trying to act as normal as possible, but you're just not a normal functioning member of society at this point. Now, if you were going really crazy, you might make it to stage 3. And now I do have to reiterate that for stage 3 especially, this is just my experience. Now, with that being said, stage 3.
Schlumped.
Your soul and essence has fully ascended. The real world is nothing but noise. You truly and fully ascended into the astral plane. You are one with the planets. You are one with the sun. You are one with
the universe.
Now after that shit, you're probably gonna feel high for like the next week at least. Personally, I would not recommend this stage because I definitely lost some brain cells from that experience. But shit, bro, maybe there was just something else in the weed.
Man, growing up, I was a great kid. I was a good kid. Man, growing up, I was a kid, bro. And as a kid, you hit a certain age where your own parents become your number one op. Like, hey mom, can I go to this girl's house?
No.
Hey mom, can I sleep over at Billy's crib?
No.
Hey mom, can I go do crack under the bridge with my new friend Jorge?
Hey. Hell no.
Come on, all my friends are allowed to. Yeah. Okay, well, if all your friends jumped off a cliff, you're not just gonna... Now, to be fair, my mom wasn't the strictest parent out there. I mean, I've seen motherfuckers get the belt for speaking too loud, speaking too quiet, bro, for speaking at all. Like, one time, me and my friend wanted to have a sleepover, so homie went inside to go ask his mom, and he came out looking like he got a whooping from Prime Goku, bro.
Yo, what the fuck happened back there, man?
She said no to me, but... I think if you asked her, she would say yes.
Bro, are you fucking insane? I'm not asking her shit.
Like, I really can't complain, because some of my friends' parents were so strict, they had a fun limit, bro.
Yo, George, we're gonna hoop after school. You wanna pull up?
Damn, dude, I'd love to, but, man, I watched a movie yesterday.
Ah, okay. So do you wanna play basketball?
Dude, I want to, but my fun meter's maxed out, man. My mom won't let me leave the house till Monday.
Holy shit, fun meter maxed out for a week off a movie? Yo, what's this movie, bro?
Yeah, what?
Yeah, no, it was good, man. It's called the VeggieTale movie.
Yo, George, I feel bad for you, bro. Cause don't get me wrong, I've seen a lot of kids with super strict parents turn out to be straight A students, go to good colleges, stay with a good crowd of people.
But with that being said, a lot of these kids whose parents were too strict to let them watch fucking SpongeBob, they end up going to college and catching Krusty Krabs after letting a dude named Patrick explore their bikini bottom, bro. Nah, but for real, my mom was far from one of those parents. I mean, she was reasonable, but the thing was, all my friends were a year older than me. Now, mentally, we were all dumb as shit. But when you hit that 12, 13, 14 year old age, that 1 year is the biggest difference, bro. Like, us doing shit together just didn't look right.
Yo, Bob, can you pass the Zot? Yo, Billy, let me hit that.
Yo, pass me that shit, cuz. And cuz of this, I wasn't allowed to do a lot of the shit that my friends were allowed to do. Like, these boys could stay up past 10:30 p.m. on a weekend. I could not. They could have a sleepover on a weeknight. I could not. They could all go to a girl's house without having to call her goddamn parents. I could not, bro. Cuz have you ever pulled up to a function? Motherfuckers are drinking. Motherfuckers are doing drugs. And you gotta ask the host to speak to her parents? Hey, Kelly. Hey, killer party you got here. Like, by any chance, can my mom talk to your mom so I can stay and, like, turn up and shit?
Oh, shit.
And when you're 12 and all your friends can do shit that you can't do, you're left with just two options. You can either be a good kid, follow the rules, do your homework, eat your broccoli, or you could be a bad kid, break the rules, fuck your homework, and smoke that broccoli. And boy, did I make the wrong decision. I remember the first time my mom caught me lying was back when I was in grade 7. It was just an average Saturday posted up at Billy's crib. Yo, y'all boys know Rosa? Yeah, I know Rosa. What's up? Bro, she's throwing a birthday party at her crib tonight.
Aw, shit, man. We about to get freaky deaky on
these hoes.
Boy,
I'm about to get so drunk I forget how to speak.
Yo, on God, bro. Deadass, that's facts. For real.
Hey, Mom, I'm just calling to remind you how much I love you.
Oh, I love you too, Chains.
What do you want?
So, me and my closest friends got invited to a small little get-together at my friend Rose's house. Can I go, please?
Let me talk to her parents.
Okay, now, I was actually friends with Rosa, but she was 2 years older than me. So, I swallowed my pride and text Rosa some along the lines of,
hey, Rosa, my mom wants to talk to your mom before I can come.
And she's like,
aw, baby boy needs permission.
Fuck.
And then she sends me her mom's number.
So, I connect my mom with Rosa's mom. My mom gives me the green light, but says, you have to be home at 10:30 p.m. sharp.
Say no more, Mom.
So me and my homies start getting fresh.
We're all up in Billy's dad's expensive cologne collection. I take the coolest looking bottle. Little spray here, little spray there.
Had me smelling like Tom Ford. Still looking like Thomas the Tank Engine. But after looking as fresh as possible, we head to Rosa's crib.
So we hop on the bus, hop off the bus, walk up to her house, knock, and the birthday girl opens the door.
Happy birthday!
Hey, Billy, Bob, and Chains, I was waiting for you guys.
Happy birthday, Rosa.
Oh, damn, Chains, you smell good.
Appreciate it. That's that Thomas Fordinson, you know what I mean?
So Bob, Billy, and I go inside, and we realize the gravity of this situation.
Oh, shit. God damn.
Rosa invited, like, 10 of her girlfriends and, like, 2 of her cousins, bro. We were completely outnumbered in the greatest way possible, bruh. As I'm just doing some quick math on the ratio, there's a knock on the door. Rosa opens it, and it's Dennis holding a bottle of vodka. Now, we're friends with Dennis, Rosa's friends with Dennis, but to put it simply, Dennis was a bad kid, bro. This motherfucker was living life with no precaution, no regrets, no morals, but to be fair, he was fun as fuck, bro, because when Dennis pulled up, the party got lit, bro. We were taking shots, dancing, playing beer pong, taking more shots. We were having a marvelous time, and I was drunk, okay? Not too drunk, but not just tipsy. I had hit the perfect sweet spot of drunk. I got all the stat boosts of being funnier, more confident, more smiley, but I still had full control of my body, so I start applying that pressure, bruh.
Hey, don't y'all both have ugly boyfriends?
No, what the fuck?
No.
Shit. Y'all want one?
What? Damn, you smell good, though.
Appreciate it. I showered this week. I don't remember what I actually said, but all I know is that in grade 7, cologne was overpowered, bro, because nobody was smelling good, and if they tried, they would just smell like Axe, dog. So I'm over here combining the powers of Tom Ford with the confidence of Smirnoff. Had me feeling like I'm him, bro.
So how y'all feeling?
I'm honestly feeling amazing. How you feel?
Shit, I'm feeling good. Just a little, you know,
just a little bit tired.
I vividly remember sitting on that couch with these two girls, never wanting this moment to end, bruh. But when I look up, I see one girl crying, one girl looking for something, Dennis helping her look, and Billy and Bob are all ready to dip. So I hop off the couch for a second, like,
yo, what's going on?
Yo, so Dennis just finessed like 3 of these girls' vapes, and we're not trying to get blamed, so we're about to dip.
Bruh, for real?
Yeah, you coming?
Bro, but like,
Bro, I'm not ready to leave yet.
Yeah, nah, it's cool. Don't worry about it. Just text us when you leave, bro.
Ah, shit. All right, peace, bro.
Peace out, dog.
So Bob and Billy dip. I see Dennis's ass sneak out through the back door. And at this point, I have no clue how long I've been here, bro. But the party had died down to essentially just the girls who are gonna sleep over. And me, bro. So I go to check what time it is on my phone. And it's 10:15, bro. My curfew's 10:30 and I'm a 30-minute bus ride from home. But if we're keeping it a buck right now, I don't even want to go home, bro. I made it to the girls' sleepover and I didn't even have to ride the group dildo or nothing. This is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. So I text my mom and I lied, bro. While Billy and I are almost at Billy's house, can I sleep over at his house, please? Then I threw my phone away, hopped back on the couch, and went right back to my happy place. So I'm posted up with these two laughing, cracking jokes when Rosa walks up like, yo, Chains, where'd your friends go? They abandoned me, Rosa. They left me here stranded with no way home. Shit, I mean, you could just stay here if you want.
Say, you lied, so...
Appreciate it. And eventually, all the girls gave up on trying to find their vapes. They all gathered around to play truth or dare and die. Prayed for times like this, bro. I was deep in enemy lines and I didn't want it any other way until one of the girls sees my phone on the ground and is like, hey, Chains, I think someone's calling you. So she tosses me my phone. I check it. And I got 20 missed calls from fucking everyone in my contacts, bro. So I'm trying to be strategic with it to find out what's going on. I call Billy first. Yo, what's happening? Bro, so your mom called my mom and asked if you were here yet at my house. And my mom told your mom that you're not even here, bro. Aw, shit. What do I do?
Bro, I don't know.
And everyone knows when you get caught in a lie, you should just fess up, tell the truth, and apologize.
But I doubled down, bro. So I called my mom and I'm like,
hey, mom, we're almost at Billy's house. We just missed our second bus.
Where are you?
I'm at Stickman Middle School bus stop. You know, like, we're super close. We're just waiting for the bus to come.
I'm picking you up right now.
Fuck me, bruh. Now, not only is she expecting all three of us to be together at this bus stop, shit, not a single one of us is there, bro. To put this in perspective, my house is right here, Billy's crib is right here, and Rosa's crib is all the way over here, bro. And Stickman Middle's somewhere near the middle. And so I pull up the bus app on my phone and see the next bus is coming in 2 minutes. And with all that adrenaline pumping through my veins, I jump up out the couch, steal a piece of gum, and haul absolute ass to the bus stop, bro. I get there right on time, hop on the bus, and I call Billy. Yo, dog, I think I'm cooked. I told her I'm at Stickman Middle with you guys.
Dude, why the fuck would you do that?
Shit, I don't know. I'm busing there right now.
Bro, if she sees you there without us, you're cooked beyond belief.
I know, bro.
Yo, we're on our way.
So Bob and Billy hop on scooters and start hill-bombing their way down to the bus stop to save my ass, and this shit was a race to get to the bus stop before my mom does, because if she catches me there alone, I'm cooked. If she catches Bob and Billy there before me, I'm cooked. If she gets there before anyone, I'm fucking done, bro. I'm on the bus just praying, and when I finally get to the bus stop at Stickman Middle, I get out and take a deep breath because my mom's not here. But I'm shitting my pants because neither is Bob or Billy. And so I'm calling them, no answer. And I look down the road, I see some headlights. And this was not a busy street, bruh. And as the car is getting closer and closer, I can feel the anger radiating from the whip. I can almost hear the belt making contact with my cheeks. And the car pulls up, and it's just some random dude driving by.
Yo!
These motherfuckers, Bob and Billy, come flying down the hill. They get to the bus stop, throw their scooters in the bush, and pretend like we've been waiting here for an hour. Oh, gee, Wilkers, man. I can't believe we missed this bus, dude.
Billy, pray for me, bro. Get in the car.
I get in my mom's car. I'm stone fucking sober. My heart is pounding. Why did you lie to me? Well, I honestly wanted to spend more time at my friend's house because we were just having fun. I'm not mad. I'm just disappointed, Chains.
That shit hurt way more than any punishment ever would have, bro.
So even though Bob and Billy clutched up for me, I still got grounded, bro. But I did learn a valuable lesson. Just tell the truth, bro. It makes everything easier.
Alright, I already touched on the unspeakable things that go down in the high school bathrooms, bro. But there's only one place on earth that is more foul than those bathrooms. And it's the goddamn locker rooms. That room smells like complete and utter dog shit mixed with Axe spray. Like, maybe I just went to school with a whole lot of Discord mods, but the rancid smell of the boys' locker room would contaminate anything in a 50-foot radius. And shit, Lord knows what goes down in that questionable place. Like, you'll walk in there and see anything, bro. Motherfuckers will be having fights, chicken fights, group fights, sword fights. Like, any laws and rules simply don't apply to the boys' locker room. Motherfuckers will be throwing hands, selling drugs, committing arson, committing several counts of fucking tax evasion. Shit, you name it. It's pretty much a GTA lobby in that bitch. Like, I remember one day I walked into PE and my teacher was like,
"Hey, nah, where's your PE strip?"
And I was like, shit, it's in the locker room. So I walk into the locker room and there's just two motherfuckers throwing hands and they just stop and look at me like, "Oh shit, I'm gonna just get my backpack and shit." So yeah. Alright, y'all be safe. And then they just went back to beating the shit out of each other. Now listen, I don't spend too much time in the girls' locker room, but anytime I walk by there, that shit smells like rose petals and rainbows. So I can only imagine there's no group fights, no chicken fights, hopefully no fucking sword fights, and bro, you deadass can't leave shit in the locker room. Like, if you leave anything not locked up, it's gone. These kids are ruthless, bro. They're snatching your wallet, your phone, your clothes. Shit, they're taking your PB&J sandwich. And the thing is, if you want your PB&J back, you're gonna have to get it back in blood, because there's no laws in the locker room. See, if someone snatched my sandwich in math class, I'm turning into 6'9", bro. Mr. Cumminson, Jordan Johnson here, who lives on 123 Stickman Drive, postal code STK53Z, just stole my peanut butter and jelly sandwich my mom made me, so I'ma need his ass suspended. But if you try to tell a teacher about anything that happened in the locker rooms, they don't give a fuck. But Mr. Principal, Jordan Johnson just stabbed me and stole my backpack, my phone, my wallet, and my ID.
Damn, I'm sorry to hear that. Where did this happen?
It was in the locker room after PE.
Oh, you said the locker room? You're just gonna have to get it back in blood.
Back in blood? What are you talking about?
Yeah. I'm not gonna lie. The way you're snitching right now, you kinda look like a bitch.
But yo, one time me, Billy, and Bob were coming back to the locker room after some good old dodgeball, and Billy notices a dude rummaging through his backpack. So he's like, yo, what are you doing, bro? But when he turned around, Billy was bamboozled to find out the kid rummaging through his bag, he was special. And there was just this moment of silence. Yo, am I supposed to like beat his ass right now, or bruh, I'm sure he didn't take anything, just politely ask for your bag back. Alright, yeah. Oh, hey man, can I get my bag back, please? And the kid just hugged Billy, and then he left. And I'm still confused to this day, but I'ma be honest, locker rooms weren't all that bad, cause sometimes you'd walk in that hole and they would just be throwing a party. Now, it still smells like ass, and there was literally no females, but it was still kinda lit. Like, you'd walk in there and it would transform into the club.
Shout out my label, that's me. I'm in this bitch with TP. I'm in this bitch with Ultra.
Or you'll walk in there and they'll just be giving out free pizza. Like walking into the locker room is a gamble. You might walk in there and get robbed, or you'll get some fucking pizza. I don't know. But what I do know is there's only 10 types of dudes in the locker room. Starting with that one kid who must have thought it was the 1800s the way he was whipping motherfuckers. Next, we got the poor guy who's just trying to change. He's quiet, he's normal, and he changes. It's a locker room, so it makes sense. Then we got that one poor soul who gets absolutely cooked by the entire locker room. Yo, Why is Kevin built like Mike Wazowski? Bro's got no neck. We're stick men. None of us have neck.
Shut up. You skip neck.
Yeah, he skips neck.
Next, we got Bob. Bob's just that guy that casually takes his shirt off, and he's built like Giga Chad. Like, shit. Fucking sexy ass Bob. And I don't know why, but there was always that one guy who thought it was a good idea to just whip his nuts out. Unprovoked, uncalled for, completely out of pocket. Like, what do you look like with your nuts out in a room with 30 half-naked sweaty dudes? Like, personally, in that situation, I'm keeping my balls in my boxers. Thank you very much. And bro, tell me why there was always one kid who was just dousing himself in Axe Spray. And it's always the mustiest motherfucker doing it too. Like, who's gonna tell him that Axe Spray doesn't replace taking showers, bruh? And I don't know about your locker room, but for mine, there was always a dude eating. Like, out of all the places on earth, why are you eating in the locker room? Like, for some reason, there's something about eating around a bunch of dudes in their boxers that just doesn't sit right with me. I mean, simply by bringing that sandwich into the locker room makes it contaminated. That sandwich will be tasting like wet dog and Axe Spray. And next, we got the kid who just makes as much noise as humanly possible.
Shut the fuck up.
And then there's that one dude who decides he's having a shower. And all power to that guy, but personally, there is no fucking way I'm showering in school. Like, I can't trust this little door to stop these menaces from breaking into my shower. Cause remember, there's no laws in the locker room. Like, it's no jail, but I'm sure if you drop the soap in there, you're gonna get violated. And of course, you got the fiend. There's always a dude fiending for a vape in every locker room. And it's low-key worse in the locker room than the bathrooms. Like, these locker room fiends would do a little bit too much for some nicotine. I've seen them pay $5 for a single hit, and fuck, I don't want to know what they'll do for a hit when they run out of money. And still, I'm not gonna lie, the high school bathrooms get wild. They'll be hotboxed, there'll be fight clubs, but the thing about the bathrooms is a teacher can walk in at any time and get every student suspended. Like, even the poor kid taking a piss will probably get suspended just by association, which is exactly why the high school locker rooms get so fucking rowdy, because there's truly no teacher strong enough to stop the buffoonery that goes on in these locker rooms, so they don't even try. Shit, I don't care if your teacher is John Cena, there is no single man who can put a stop to the fuck shit that goes down in the locker rooms. But there is one thing that can, a female.
You know what they say, there's a first for everything, bro. Like, your first steps, your first dance moves, your first words. Dada.
Hey, would you look at that? We gotta get some milk. I'll be right back.
Your first stepdad? New dada?
Yeah, nah. I'm ahead of two, actually.
And your first kiss. Man, the things I would do to go back and completely erase that shit from existence. Bro, all these Disney movies I was seeing as a kid had these first kisses turning ugly-ass frogs into some fucking Giga Chad and shit. Like, spoiler alert, fucking ribbon. On top of that, the fact you have to close your eyes, like, bro, imagine you're learning how to golf and you're about to take your first swing and these motherfuckers are like,
yeah, now do it with your eyes closed.
Bro, this is my first time, what do you expect to happen? Like, honestly, my first kiss is top 5 worst chains moments of all time, and let's just say it's not 5 or 4 Or 3. That shit was really bad, bro. So with that being said, this story takes place in grade 7, which is the year I got my first girlfriend. Now, I told this story a few months back, but I purposely left out the part of my first kiss. Well, gosh diddly darn, Chains. Why would you do such a preposterous thing? And the truth is, I was planning on taking this shit to the grave with me, bro, but fuck it. Sometimes you just gotta let the world know.
Okay, you're right. I got something to get off my chest.
Epstein? Wait, with the what?
way. So for the homies who haven't seen the video, one day me, Bob, and Billy were mobbing around our local mall when we seen these three girls from our class. So we walk up to them and lay down some of the meanest 12-year-old riz these girls had ever seen. Hey, yo, Shorty, I think I just shit my pants. Can I get into yours?
What the fuck?
Oh, shit, my bad. My fault. Hey, yo, Shorty, are you a cigarette?
Am I a cigarette? What?
Because I'm trying to get lit and put your butt in my mouth.
Wait, what?
Nothing.
Please, 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 please.
Holy shit, bro. Let me guess. You all got restraining orders.
No. Worse.
We got fucking girlfriends. And 12-year-old me had no business dating nobody, bruh. Like, my dumbass could barely even handle playing Fortnite with a girl. Like, oh, hey, GamerGirl97.
Hey.
I'm kind of low. Can I chug on your jugs?
What?
Oh, no, sorry. Whoa, I just want to slurp on your juice.
Ew.
No, I'm sorry. Ew. I mean, like, I need heels. Can I trade you? What do you need?
Oh, yeah. Is there any way you can give me some mats?
Oh, yeah. No, I'd love to give you my wood.
Huh?
Or bricks. Or metal. Or anything you need,
okay.
Anything else?
Yeah, I don't have a shotgun yet.
Oh, shit, I got three.
Okay.
I can give you two pumps.
Ew.
Or no, it's one pump. No, wait.
Oh,
sorry, I can give you shotguns, I mean.
Okay.
Where are you?
I'm in this little wood fort I made.
Oh, okay, I see you. Let me come in your box.
Yes.
So needless to say, every single interaction I had with my girlfriend was awkward as shit. Because I had to pre-plan things to say in my head, and as soon as that shit went off script... I was cooked.
Hey, Jessica, how you doing today?
Honestly, just not the best.
Oh, that's good. What'd you do today?
Oh, I don't know. Just did my makeup.
Hey, me too.
You did your makeup?
Yeah, we have so much in common. Have a nice day.
Fuck!
And on one Friday after school, me, Bob, Billy, and our girlfriends all went to the mall together, as we did every single day. But on this specific Friday, we rubbed together a few brain cells and realized,
yo, do you got money?
Nah.
You got money?
Zero.
You got money?
I'm broke.
You got money?
No.
You got money?
Yo. Why are we at the mall?
I don't know.
I mean, we could all go to my house.
Yeah. What
you doing? And so, of course, as the good kid I was, I text my mom to ask her to go. Greetings, mother. I would like to know if it's in the realm of possibility that you'd be so kind to grant me your permission to visit the household of my dearest acquaintance, Nikki. Looking forward to hearing from you. Your favorite son, Chains. And I immediately get a call.
Let me speak to her parents.
Now, I, Chains for real, have never dated a 12-year-old boy in my life, and I honestly don't plan on it. But even in grade 7, I could use my logic and reasoning skills to understand if your boyfriend had to get his mom to talk to your friend's mom for permission to slide to the crib. Instant ick, bro. There's just no way. She'd probably break up with me on the spot. So I'm doing anything I can to not let that happen.
Hey there, Miss For Real. This is Nikki's mom. I just want to let you know Chains and his friends are welcome over anytime because they're... because they're goated with the sauce.
Shit.
Oh, hey, Nikki's mom. Sorry, it's kind of hard to hear you over all this bullshit. You're not allowed at her house. Come home now.
Chains, are you coming?
Look, Mom, I'm not gonna lie. You gotta lock the fuck in right now. This is the first time in my life I ever been invited to a girl's house and there's cheeks up for grabs. Like, Mom, this is my only opportunity. If you don't let me go, the For Real bloodline might just end with me. Okay, listen, Chains. I'll let you go this time, but you have to be home at 9 p.m. sharp.
Yay, thank you so much, Mom.
Now, I'm paraphrasing, but the point is she let me go with a curfew of 9 p.m. So all six of us leave the mall, hop on the bus, and get off at Nikki's house. We go inside, sit on the couch, and now... It's even more awkward, bro, because instead of walking around the mall, all we had to entertain ourselves was ourselves. And just like any other awkward middle school scenario, that shit went like...
Truth or dare?
Yeah,
that's exactly what I was thinking.
And my heart instantly dropped, bro. Because I knew if I picked dare, I would have to kiss Jessica and shit, bro. That's a whole lot scarier than playing Fortnite with GamerGirl97. But regardless, Nikki starts the game of truth or dare.
Hey, Billy, truth or dare?
Yo, truth.
What? what's your favorite color?
Blue.
Oh, what? This shit's not even bad. Okay, then chains, truth or dare? Truth.
No. What do you mean, no? It's truth or dare.
I said truth or dare.
What the fuck?
Okay, fine, dare. You have to kiss Jessica.
Bro, this time it wasn't a pickup line. When I say I just shit my pants, I mean not literally, but metaphorically, I was shitting bricks, bro. And when I turned to Jessica, she's just sitting there straight faced as fuck.
So, Jessica, are you down? like hypothetically speaking, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm going in. Sorry. Let me just Alright, bro, I'm not gonna lie, this is fucking weird. You guys are just watching and shit, like, I don't know, it's just kinda,
So if we weren't watching you do it?
I mean, yeah, I would actually. Wait, what the fuck?
Every single one of these motherfuckers ran to the corner and started staring at the wall, like,
did you do it yet?
We're not looking till you do it.
Yo, hurry up, dumbass.
So now I got all this pressure on me to do this shit, but Jessica's out here looking at me like, hey, how was your day?
Yo, shut the fuck
up. Just kiss her already.
What are you yapping about?
And I deadass didn't know how to go about it. I ended up sitting on this couch nervous as hell, awkward as hell, looking stupid as fuck for 20 minutes, bruh. Now, 20 minutes in general doesn't sound that long, but imagine sitting on a couch in complete silence with everyone just... Bro, just watch this.
My brother in Christ, that was 10 seconds, bruh. Imagine doing that times 120.
So after the second longest 20 minutes of my life, I say, you know what? Fuck it. And Nikki's mom walks in the room.
Hey, who wants snacks? Oh.
And at this point, I checked my shitty-ass Samsung Galaxy 3, and it was already 8:50 p.m. And with the curfew at 9, I had no choice but to lock in. So I lick my lips, close my eyes, and real quick, I smash our mouths together. And when I turn around, not a single motherfucker is facing the wall. I look the other way, and Nikki's mom is peeking around the corner with her fucking mac and cheese and shit. So I made like my pops, and I was out that hoe.
Pleasure doing business, Jessica.
Wait, what? Where are you going?
Thanks for having me, Nikki's mom.
What the hell was that?
And I proceeded to sprint home, making it home at 8:59, exactly 1 minute before my curfew. And that night, when I went to bed, I couldn't sleep, bro. I haven't been able to sleep since. Damn, I should have taken this shit to the grave with me. Fuck.
Man, way back when, there was a time when you couldn't catch anyone under the age of 30 chiefing a vape. Until one day at Vaporizer Laboratories, they were cooking up and made a flavor that would change the game forever. Cotton candy. Now this revolutionary flavor forced these grown ass 30 year old men to take a good look in the mirror and ask themselves,
damn, what do I look like as a grown-ass man sucking on this goddamn cotton candy stick?
So they do what any responsible adult would do. They give it to their children. I mean, shit, kids love cotton candy. All of a sudden, business is booming for Vaporizer Laboratories, so they start cooking up even harder. Boom, Sour Patch Kids juice. Boom, applesauce juice. And boom, baby food juice. These babies will be sucking that shit like a soother. Kids' first words will be looking like,
oh my god, honey, Jackson's gonna say his first words.
Yeah.
Oh, let's hear it.
Yo, Pops, well, let me bum a hit off that 50 Nick Guava Ice, G.
Yo, just wait till they drop that breast milk flavor, bro. Shit, these newborn babies won't even know what hit them. They'll be returning customers for life, which will probably be like 12 years max. Now, the reason I say all this is to let you know that vaping not only intruded my high school years, but also my years in middle school. I was first introduced to these bad boys at the ripe age of 13. And with a little bit of that good old peer pressure, I folded, bro. Like, what was I supposed to do, bro? Like not take the hit?
No. I probably should not have taken a hit. But from that point on, I started doing a little dabbling, you know? I mean, as a 13-year-old, there's only one answer to someone asking, yo, dude, you want to try a hit of this blueberry guacamole milkshake ice flavor, dude? And that answer is, abso-fucking-lutely, dude. And I was never a fiend or anything, but I will say, I popped a few ghosts and blown a few O's back in my day, but it had never gotten to the point of me owning a vape. Until one day. This story takes place way back in grade 7. Me and the boys were posted in science class dissecting cow balls or some shit when Mr. Principal burst through the door like,
is Tessa here?
Yeah, she's right there.
And I look at Tessa and she just tosses her vape over to her homie Kate. And I seen that shit clear as day, but Mr. Principal's old ass must have forgot to wear his contacts or something. Cause he runs a quick pat down on Tessa looking for said vape, but sure enough, he doesn't find it.
Miss Rhodes told me you were vaping in her class. Is this true?
No, I would never.
Okay.
And then the bell rang and everybody knew what that meant. It was Nut Break. Now, I don't know who the fuck decided to name our recess Nut Break, but I will say, most of the students understood that that shit was short for Nutrition Break. However, some kids took it a little too literally. Weird ass school, man. But this specific nut break, you best believe, me and the boys weren't busting nuts or eating nutritional foods because Billy had something else on his mind. Yo, who's got you smiling like that?
Who, me? nah, it's nobody.
Yo, wait, you got a crush on Tessa?
What? Tessa?
Me?
Yeah, I got a crush on, yeah.
Oh, sick. Go talk to her, bro.
Talk to her? No. No.
Bro, it's simple. She's new to the school. She's probably looking for some friends. So just walk over and introduce yourself.
You're right. I'm just going to do it.
Yes, sir.
Hey, I
did I just sell that shit?
Yep. You did.
Then the bell rings and we all go to PE class. Now in my middle school, your class was your class. You just have the same students and the same underqualified teacher teaching everything. Like, Lord knows Mr. Donaldson shouldn't be teaching PE, but shit. Here we are. And so while we're playing dodgeball, I'm trying to coach Billy on how to confess his love for Tessa, but I'ma keep it a buck. I was speaking straight out of my ass, bro. I don't know the first thing about confessing love. Listen, bro, I'm the expert when it comes to confessing love. All you gotta do is walk up with confidence, introduce yourself, and then ask her to be your girlfriend, bro.
Okay, simple. Let's practice.
Hey, Vanessa. My name's Billy and, Do you want to be my girlfriend?
Damn!
And after the proper training, by the time lunch came around, Billy was prepared to do what had to be done.
Alright, listen, bro. Whatever happens out there, me and Bob got your back. And remember, the worst she can say is no, bro.
Alright, I'm ready.
You got this.
Hey, Vanessa. I'm Billy. I seen you in science class today, and you were looking very pretty, and, Do you want to be my girlfriend?
Fuck no.
She laughed, bro. She laughed in Billy's face. And he walks back to us with tears in his eyes.
She laughed at me, bro.
Well, at least you know what they say.
What?
If you can make her laugh and giggle, you can make the cheeks clap and
jiggle. Not right now, bro.
You're right. Too soon. Needless to say, that brother Billy went home that night, listened to Juice WRLD, and cried himself to sleep. Shit, the next day, Billy didn't even say a word, but I could hear Lucid Dreams on full blast in those earbuds. Man, it's a tough sight to see. Next thing I know, Mr. Principal bursts in the class talking about,
alright, Tessa, in my office, right now.
Now, I don't know why she was in trouble, but whatever she was accused of, she's guilty, bro. And she's also guilty on 1/3-degree count of breaking my man's heart. And as I'm busy praying on Tessa's downfall, I get a little tap on my shoulder like, psst, take this. Mr. Principal's looking for it, and he's not gonna check you.
Whose is it?
It's Tessa's.
Don't worry, it's safe with me.
And it was safe with me. Cause that shit was now mine. The only way she could get it back is if she repaired my boy Billy's heart and
That just wasn't happening.
And soon enough, Tessa comes back from Mr. Principal's office and she didn't say a word.
We had nut break, nothing. We went to PE, nothing. And then we went to math class. And as I was chilling in math class, calculating the square root of pi and shit, I get a tap on my shoulder again.
Psst, Tessa wants her vape back.
Vape? What vape?
The one I handed you this morning, you know, it was purple. And...
Oh, that vape. Oh, yeah, I threw that shit in the bushes.
So she reports back to the person who gave her the vape, and she reports back to the person who gave her the vape, etc., etc., until Tessa finds out, and she looks pissed. So she whispers to her friend, who whispers to her friend, etc., etc.
What bush did you throw it in?
Oh, the one out back.
And to put it in perspective, the bush out back was fucking massive. It was this huge conglomerate of straight prickle bushes, and so pretty much, her vape was gone, bro.
And I went to sleep that night with a smile on my face, knowing I not only saved Tessa's lungs, but also Billy's heart. The next day, I went to class, sat down with the boys as always, but something was different. Tessa and her homies were nowhere to be seen. I shrug it off and continue to make some groundbreaking studies in science class until I hear Billy like,
"Bro, no fucking way."
So I turn around to not only see Tessa and her friends waist high in prickle bushes looking for this vape, but I also see Mr. Principal forcing them to do it. Now this was truly a beautiful sight to see revenge play out this perfectly. Like Billy was sitting at the window the entire class watching him do a whole search party for this vape that was posted in my pocket. And just when I thought Billy couldn't get happier, the next day Tessa and her friends had to present a PowerPoint to the entire school on why vaping is bad.
Vaping is bad because when the vape enters your lungs, it's not good for your lungs.
Man, karma is real, because not only did Tessa understand how it felt to be laughed at, but the next day, my friend came up to me like,
"Can I use that vape for the day?"
And I wasn't using that shit, so I said,
"Yeah, sure."
And at the end of the day, you'll never guess what she told me, bro.
"Yo, you still got the vape?"
No, I threw it in the bush out back.
Here at Stickman High, we understand the importance of learning. That's exactly why our new curriculum has been perfected to accelerate the learning of each and every student. Like, hey, look at this kid.
Wait, what?
Look how big his head is. It must be full to the brim with all that knowledge we provide.
Hey, it's not that big.
No, it's pretty fucking big. Anyways, let's take a look at how the new curriculum pushes our students in the weight room. Oh, wow, impressive. See, I didn't even know legs could bend like that.
They can't.
All right, stop recording. Stop the recording. Stop the recording. Stop the recording. All right, Stickman High, welcome to the new curriculum, and let's study those textbooks.
All right, class, are we ready to learn about this new curriculum or what? Or we could just do a Kahoot?
Yes, sir! Hey, that's what I've been waiting for. That's what it's all about.
Man, I fucking love Kahoots, and I don't study for shit. Bro, I feel like Kahoots are the exact equivalent of the good old here comes the airplane trick. Like,
yo, you want a Brussels sprout?
Aw, hell nah, bro. Those are disgusting.
Oh, shit. Alright, but here comes the airplane.
Hey, Chains, you need to study for this history test.
Hell nah, bro. That shit's boring as hell.
Okay, yeah, but...
The Declaration of Independence was signed on the... Because personally, I didn't give a single fuck about what we're learning in school. But I swear they infused the Kahoot music with Adderall or like crack or some shit. Because a game of Kahoot used to have me all the way locked in. And I would be grinding my way up those leaderboards. Like, I'd make it to third place and then second place and then first. And then the teacher would throw in some bullshit like, "Now, what position was Abraham Lincoln conceived in?" So I go for the safe answer, and all of a sudden I dropped 14 places, and I'm getting passed by goddamn Dildo and Duncan McCockiner. And the teacher's over here yapping about,
"Yeah, guys, you should know this one. It's chapter 13 in your textbooks."
Like, bro,
Why the actual fuck should we know this one?
But in these cahoots, people were coming up with the most outrageous names of all time, bro. I remember any time a teacher would pull up a cahoot, the first names would start off normal as hell. Jessica, Eric, maybe a little Bartholomew. But as soon as one dude drops a name that's ever so slightly comical, every single name after that ends up being more and more out of pocket than the last. It's like a competition to see who's gonna push that shit the furthest. Like Richard Long quickly turns into Ben Dover, which nicely parlays into Hugh Janus, which passes it over to I Swallow Cum, who alley-oops it for Wilma Dickfit, which eventually somehow always ends up with the teacher just catching mad strays. Like somewhere along the line, that shit goes from Dixie Normus to Miss Jackson's Built Like Mike Wazowski.
Alright, who said I'm built like Mike?
I remember I had this teacher who used to love cahoots. Shit, she loved her cahoots so much, we'll call her Miss Cahooters. Nope. Nah, we're not actually doing that. We're not calling her that. I think we'll just go with Miss Cahoot. You know what I'm saying? I think Miss Cahoot works just fine. And every Friday or so, we would walk into Miss Cahoot's class, and she would have a cahoot pulled up smiling from ear to ear. Which, I'm not gonna lie, was really sad to see. Not because she was smiling, but because I knew in 20 minutes tops, that smile would turn into straight anger, bro. Hey class, happy Friday. We're gonna do another cahoot because I know it's a class favorite. Just please, everyone be appropriate.
DJ Bustanut, are you serious? In my 22 years of teaching, I have never...
And I felt bad for Miss Cahoot, you know, like, I really did. But it was low-key her fault for running it back so many times.
Because DJ Bustanut just couldn't stop catching these dubs, bruh. He was a dog.
But nah, I really do feel Miss Cahoot. Because sometimes even Cahoot pisses me off, bruh. Because picture this, I'm here grinding out these answers, giving it my all, even cheating a little off that one smart motherfucker with the big ass laptop, but I still get a few answers wrong, you know, nobody's perfect. But imagine my pain as I read my screen and find out I'm 76 points behind fucking Sebastian, bro. And I look up at Sebastian and this motherfucker doesn't even know what he's playing. He's just happy to be here and shit. But there's only one feeling worse than being 76 points behind Sebastian, and that feeling always came from the easiest questions. It would be like, oh, what? This is a little too easy. How do you say hi in English? And you're trying to speedrun this shit, so you click the first thing that kind of makes a little bit of sense and the answers come up, and you're the only motherfucker to get that shit wrong.
No.
Who's dumbass? And everyone's looking around for who got it wrong. Like,
yo, who's dumbass got that shit wrong, bruh?
Facts, bruh, type shit. Dumbass type shit. The fucking dumbass.
Chains? Were you the dumbass who got that shit wrong, bro?
Me? Dumbass? Nah, shut up. Shut the fuck up. Nah. It was probably
Sebastian, bro. Just look at that one. And I feel like there's only 7 types of people in class when you're playing a cahoot. And the first is Dover. Ben Dover. We all know him and we all love him. He's got a smart name but not a smart brain. He might get the first answer right, but then he falls off the face of the leaderboards, never to be seen again. But on the leaderboards, we got Genius George. Cause George actually studied the material like a well-prepared and studious nerd, bruh. Cause George was the type of dude to be like,
calculate for the common denominator.
Oh man, this one is too easy. Like bro, if you don't shut the fuck up, I'm about to commonly dominate that ass.
No, it's called a denominator.
Oh, I know. And I swear every game of Kahoot had that one person who took their sweet time to answer every single question. Like, it could be 1 + 1, and this motherfucker would be 30 seconds deep into the question, like, okay, 1 + 1. Is it a trick question?
No, just answer the question.
Oh, okay, 1 + 1 =
the answer's two, dumbass.
Okay, can I use a lifeline and phone a friend?
Alright, chat, how do we kick Jasmine out of the lobby?
And then we got Flying Fuck Frederick, and Flying Fuck Frederick doesn't give a flying fuck. Dude will give his best shot at the first question, and then he's aborting mission and playing some goddamn Clash Royale. And then there's always that one dude yelling out the wrong answers.
Alright, what's the biggest mountain
one in the world.
Ooh, ooh, I know this one. Chains. It's blue, bro. Trust.
Oh, shit, bet. Wait, no, I meant red. Sorry, my tongue slipped, bro. My bad.
Bro. Oh, and it looks like Chains is off the leaderboard. Everyone, let's point our fingers and laugh at him.
And we got the radiating Redditor. And I say radiating because that boy is radiating the most profuse body odor known to man. And I don't know, maybe it's all a part of their strategy to win, because that shit throws you off your game, bro. They'll be invading your nostrils with a concoction of Doritos, Skibbity Toilet, and Badoosie. And if you've ever played against a Redditor in a game of Kahoot, you may be wondering, yo, how is this dude getting every answer right while sitting back drinking Mountain Dew watching Best Sigma Moment compilations? And the answer is, he's cheating, bro. And not the normal kind of cheating either. This dude's using a Kahoot bot to get every answer right. And now you may be thinking, nah, why would someone cheat on a Kahoot, bro? It's not that serious. And that's facts, but the thing is, the prize was a gummy bear, and this dude can't leave no calories behind. And then we got the casual Kahooters. Fuck, I gotta stop saying that shit, bro. I was trying to say we got the people who just play the game. They got normal names, they get some right, they get some wrong, but at the end of the day, they probably still get their shit yelled at, all because DJ Busta Nut couldn't stop catching these dubs.
Alright. My very first time getting a taste of that enchanted broccoli. It was a very special time in my life. In fact, it shaped me to become the stick man you see today. Now, if you've seen this video, you would know my very first time being baked was also my first time being drunk. Cause you see, what happened was I had ate some magic brownies and they didn't kick in for a while. So I came to the solid conclusion that, bro, these edibles ain't shit. So I chug some vodka and next thing I know, I'm fucking obliterated. And through me mixing these two substances for the very first time of trying each, I was unable to truly take in the full experience of being zooted. Cause I was fucking slumped. So fast forward about a month after the edible incident, me and Bob were trying to see what being baked really felt like. Keep in mind, we were in grade 7 at this point, and at Stickman Middle School, you got +3 clout points if you ever smoked some grass. So naturally, we were fiending for some Mary Jane, and we had just the person to call. Yo, Billy. Hey, what's up? Me and Bob were trying to smoke some marijuana.
Shut up. The feds might have tapped my phone, bro. Chill.
Oh, shit. My bad. I meant we're trying to blow some pipes.
Hey, yo, pause. What the fuck?
We're trying to inhale Satan's spinach? I don't know.
I bet. I got some gas for you boys. Meet me at Stickman Park at 6 p.m. sharp.
Okay, bet.
And soon enough, it was 6 p.m. sharp and we were posted at Stickman Park. The homie Billy pulls up fully equipped with the gas.
Yo, we gotta find somewhere discreet to do this.
Oh, let's do it in the trees over there.
Alright, that works.
So we walk into this little forest with a bench in it and Billy whips out the pipe.
What the fuck is that?
It's a pipe. I took it from my sister's room.
Bro, are you sure you didn't accidentally take her dildo instead?
Shut up, bro. Lots of people smoke out of these bad boys.
I don't know. There's just something about the way that it's shaped.
Are we smoking or not?
Yeah, we're smoking.
And then Billy takes out a plastic bag with a thug ass.
Yo, take a whiff of this shit.
And at this point, I had never got a sniff of the za before. So when I did take a whiff,
damn, that's some strong shit right there.
Hell yeah.
And I got it from the plug for 50% off.
Damn, bro, this is gonna get us high as hell.
So Billy packed the pipe and handed it to me. He whipped out the lighter and said, suck it.
Hey, yo, pause.
Oh my, alright, inhale.
Oh, I got you.
And there it was, my very first hit of the Zaza. And I was coughing up a storm. And as Bob was taking his hit, I was sitting there like, am I high yet? Like, is this what it's supposed to feel like?
Nah, you gotta smoke some more to get baked.
So Billy packs some more into the pipe and hands it to me. I inhale. But still nothing. So me and Bob are looking at each other like,
bro, are we like invincible or some shit?
Uh,
I think so. And Billy's like, no, you have to inhale and hold it in your lungs for as long as possible. So I try it. I inhale, I held it, and then I was coughing up a storm again. We repeated these steps for like 20 minutes and still nothing. Now, me and Bob didn't know shit when it came to the topic of devil's lettuce, so we were just taking Billy's word for everything. Yo, don't worry, it'll hit you in like an hour. So we walk back to Bob's crib, and sure enough, an hour goes by. Yo, are you high yet? Nah, I still feel normal. What about you? Yeah, I'm chilling. So we waited and waited all night, and nothing happened. Now, a quick scientific analysis of the situation. What had happened was, Billy's plug saw that he was 13 and realized he could make a quick buck off him. So he had given him 50% off, however, he gave him straight stems. Now, if you're not sure what this means, let me break it down for you using, enchanted broccoli. Now, we all know that broccoli is a nutritious vegetable. However, a wide majority of the nutrients are packed directly in the broccoli crown, leaving the stem of the broccoli with very small amounts of nutrients in comparison to the top part. This means that eating the top part of the broccoli will indeed make you big and strong. However, the stem itself lacks the capacities to, quote unquote, make you big and strong, if you know what I'm saying. Remember, eat your broccoli. So essentially, me and Bob were smoking that doo-doo pack, smoking straight Reggie. So Bob and I felt as though we needed some redemption, and we knew just the perfect day to do it. April 20th, 420. So today was the day we would really know what being zooted felt like. So me, Billy, and Bob went over to our homie's house, cause we knew this homie in particular would have the facilities to celebrate April 20th. So we knock on his door, he lets us in, and the first thing this motherfucker says is, so, are we smoking fat today or what?
Hey, yes, sir.
Alright, follow me. So we followed the homie into his mom's room, and when he opened her closet, she was equipped with every kind of grass you could imagine. He snatched a few pre-rolls and we went to his backyard. He lit up the first J and passed it straight to me. And after all these years, it felt as though my entire life had led me up to this very moment. I took a hit and got my real first taste of that Mary Jane. So we passed around the J's for a bit and my eyes and mouth started to dry up. So I'm like, alright, I'm gonna go get some water really quick. And the moment I stand up, it all hits at once. I just remember everything going into slow motion, and it felt like I was watching myself in a movie, almost like it was a third person perspective. So I head into the homie's bedroom and I lay down on his bed because I was really trying to comprehend what the fuck was going on. Cause my frame rates were dropping, my time perception was fucked, and I was hungry as shit. So when Billy, Bob, and the homie walk into the room with snacks, bro, I was a munch. And so for the rest of the night, the four of us just chilled out, ate some snacks, and enjoyed our very first time with that enchanted broccoli.
For most of my life, I've known how to swim. But by that, I mean, if my life depended on it, I could swim from one place to another. I don't even know if swim is the right word. Like, if you saw me casually enjoying a little swim at the pool, you'd be like, does he need help? Like, is he drowning? I mean, like, I did take swimming lessons, but I quit at level alligator, bro. I never even made it to level 1. With that being said, this incident dates way back to when I was in grade 4. We were going on a field trip, and of course, it's to the pool. But I'm not stressing. I know I safely passed level penguin, so I should be chilling. My whole class and I walk into the entrance of the pool, but before anyone was allowed in the pool, they asked everyone if they knew how to swim. And I thought, we're in grade 4. There is no way somebody still doesn't know how to swim. And just as I presumed, nobody needed a life jacket. So me and the gang are swimming around, you know, jumping off the diving boards. Fun stuff for a grade 4 field trip. But after about an hour, my friends and I are just chilling in the deep end. And that's when I see a kid in my class named Ben on some floaty things coming in our direction. A little backstory about Ben. For as long as I can remember, this dude has been on my nuts. So when I saw this dude coming in my direction, I assumed he just wanted to say hi or something. But as he made his way towards me, I could tell he was struggling. So I swim over to help him out. Oh, hey, Ben. How are you? This kid jumps off the floaty thing onto me. And this man has the meanest grip on me. Pause. Well, this shit had to be some sort of attempted murder, bro, because he had me in a chokehold and his legs were wrapped around my arms. But they did not prepare me for this shit level alligator. So instantly I start sinking and I hit the bottom of the pool. Keep in mind, Ben is chilling on top of me with his head out of the water this whole time. So I jump off the bottom of the pool just enough to get my head out of the water for a few seconds. Ben, get off me. And when I look up, I see this dude, Ben, with the straightest face in the world. Like, this motherfucker has no clue I'm out here fighting for my life. And he says, in the most monotone voice, I can't swim. Hell nah. I'm trying to fight him off me, but keep in mind, my arms are tied up. So I gather all the strength out of my skinny ass grade 4 legs, and I jump just enough to get my head out of the water again. Lifeguard, help! Oh, you guys, stop playing around in the pool. That's it. I'm fucked. I'm dead. And out of sheer anger, I decide, fuck it. If I'm dying, you're dying with me. I duck as far as I can under the water so both me and Ben can't breathe. But I'm running out of air. I start to get lightheaded. Man, that's crazy. This is really how I die, huh? And just as I had lost hope, my main man, Bob, comes in on some Superman shit, pulls Ben off me, and swims me over to the shallow end. I cough up some water, but eventually I catch my breath. So that's the story of how I almost died. And it's also the story of why I owe my life to Bob. If you saw this video, you would know my very first time drinking, I got both high and drunk at the same time. But my first time being drunk takes place back when I was like 14 or 15. And this story takes place at my grandma's crib. No, listen, I know that sounds bad, but like, I mean, it's pretty bad. So the story starts with me and my brother pulling up to the family function. And right off the bat, we notice the chill cousins are nowhere to be seen. So instantly, we can tell it's gonna be a long night of engaging in conversations about school, sports, my lack of ability to pull bitches. And about 5 minutes after arriving, you know, I'm just doing some good old small talk. Oh, hey bud, how's school going? Oh, you know, it's going.
And, how's sports going?
Yeah, the sports are good.
Nice.
So, the weather lately, huh? And then after about 20 minutes, me and my brother are just getting our shit flamed by every member of the family.
No wonder you can't get a girlfriend. You're ugly as shit.
Damn it, that was just mean.
And don't get me started on you. You had a 3-year head start and still can't get any bitches.
And honestly, we just can't say anything back because last time I tried.
Man, still no girlfriend. That's brutal.
Not as brutal as your third divorce, am I right? Guys, so instead of flaming the living shit out of this grown man in front of his mom, I decide to be the bigger man. I just laughed that shit off. And then got the fuck out of there before they brought up my school grades. So as my brother and I sit down in a different room, I'm just in agony thinking about how everything this dude flamed me for was actually true. But my brother, on the other hand, he was whipping up some devious plan. Yo, Chains, follow me.
Oh, okay.
So we walk down to the basement. So, what are we doing in the basement? He opens a cupboard full of alcohol. Bro just cracks the seal on some vodka and starts downing that shit. Now, usually I would know this is a bad idea, but to be honest, I just got done getting my entire existence shit on by my own family. So I'm really just trying to drink my pain away at this point.
I mean, we were passing that bottle drinking like rent was due and the wife was taking the kids. So with that being said, we got a little hammered. And keep in mind, this was my first time being drunk. So as soon as I stood up, I ate shit. It was like I had to relearn the controls of life. But we had to get out of the basement or else we'd look suspicious. So our drunk asses plug walked our way up the stairs. But we were trying to act as casual as possible. So we sit back down with the rest of the family like we didn't just down a bottle of vodka. And me and my bro were just sitting there looking at each other trying not to laugh. But the next thing I knew, this dude Uncle Jerry was back on my ass.
Hey look, Dumb and Dumber are back.
And at this point, I'm using every bone in my body not to end this man's whole career.
Man, whose gene is it that made you so damn hideous?
Don't do it, bro. Don't do it, bro. And I really didn't want to do him like that, but the vodka took control. It was your hideous gene, Gerald. But at least I didn't get the same gene that has you 5'2 and balding. Like, I can't tell if you're going through puberty or a midlife crisis. And shit, I didn't stop there. And Joe, I want to hear you talking. You're built like Baymax from Big Hero 6.
What the fuck is Big Hero 6?
Mom, I love you. Karen, sit down. Your mac and cheese tastes like ass. And Bob, you're literally a registered sex offender. Grandma, I love you. Bernard, your hairline looks like it's social distancing from your eyebrows. And Irene, how are you 47 and still work at McDonald's? And you got no drip. Come on, bro. Friendly fire. Oh, shit. You're right. My bad. Needless to say, I was handing out smoke to everybody. Something in that vodka turned me to a demon. And I guess since everyone was mad at me for dissing the entire family, they never knew I was drunk as hell. But in the end, I did feel really bad for roasting my entire family tree. But ever since that day, everybody stopped flaming me. So, it was worth it. Billy is one of my closest homies, and we've been friends ever since we were little kids, and for as long as I can remember, Billy's been a dumbass, bro. I'm talking, he's slightly restarted, you know what I mean? And everyone knows Billy for just two things. Always making the absolute worst decision possible, and always having the best stories, bro. Like, statistically, this motherfucker should have died 61 different times already, bro.
Nah, I got plot armor, bro.
Bro, no you don't.
I do.
Man, shut the fuck.
Hey! What the fuck?
Now, this story takes place on February 14th, 2025, Valentine's Day. And I'm gonna be so honest, this story is one of the craziest stories I've ever heard in my life, bro. So, wait, can you swear to them that is real?
It is.
Say you swear.
I swear, bro.
On everything you love, the Valentine story happened, bro.
On everything I love, the Valentine story really happened.
It was a fine Valentine's Day night. Bob, Billy, and I were all some single dudes, except Billy had a little situation, you know? He was talking to a girl named Elise, and they would hang out from time to time, but it was a new thing, so they weren't really dating, and they were definitely not Valentine. Now, I don't know much about Elise, but just 2 weeks prior, Billy was telling me about how he met some cute girl. They would text, they would hang out, but for whatever reason, their conversations would always be some like,
hey, how you doing?
Oh, I'm good. I am a little bit stressed because I'm moving and everything.
Oh yeah, moving sucks. How about you come over, I relieve all your stress type shit.
Billy, I really like you.
I like you too, Elise.
But I think you might be a whore.
Wait, what?
Like, you're most likely a bop.
Okay, wait, I mean,
you're
like,
definitely a fuckboy.
Okay, chill now. I've never fucked a boy in my life.
So keeping that in mind, we were all single, and this Valentine's happened to land on a Friday, and because of this,
we going to the club.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So the plan was simple. We go to the drink store to get something to pregame, go back to my house, and then hit the club, fall in love, and live happily ever after. Now the problem was, Billy was stuck working a 9.5 hour shift until 10 p.m. Now he was the pizza delivery guy for a chain we'll call
Big Caesar.
So he's doing his thing, delivering those Valentine's pizzas. Well, me and Bob decide that we would go get the drinks now and meet Billy back at the crib once he's off work. So we hop in the car, we get to the drink store, and at this point, it's 9:30 p.m. And so Bob calls Billy to ask what he wants. No answer. I call him. No answer. We both text him.
Nothing. Now this was strange because Billy usually responds while he's working, but we shrug it off. We go inside the store and get Billy his go-to bottle.
Tennessee.
So we go back to my house and get to my room at about 10 p.m. and still no word from Billy. So we're waiting for a good 20 minutes and then I get a text message from Billy. The craziest shit ever just happened. So I'm like, what happened? Bro, it's so crazy, I need to tell you in person. So Billy whips it over to my house, kicks down the door, and instantly starts breaking down the craziest plot I've ever heard, bruh.
Yo, listen, this story takes place 1 hour ago.
It was 9:30 p.m. and Billy was finishing up a long 9.5 hour shift with his very last delivery of the night, but the problem was his phone was on 1% and he didn't even have a charger. So Billy locks in and memorizes all the directions to get there right before his phone dies. So from one side of the city, Billy goes 100% straight off the dome to the other side of the city for his last delivery on this fine Valentine's Day night. Billy hops out the car, walks up to the house, knocks, and they open the door.
Hey man, happy Valentine's Day.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much, but I didn't order a pizza.
Oh shit, are you sure?
Gerald, did we order a pizza?
Fuck no.
Yeah, no, we didn't order a pizza.
I don't know. It says a meat lover's pizza for 3516.
Oh, honey, no. This is 3416. 3516 is all the way around the back of the cul-de-sac.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Have a good night.
So Billy's walking for a good 8 minutes to get to the back of the cul-de-sac where at last he finds 3516. He walks up to the door, knocks, and a fine-looking woman in her 40s opens the door holding a vape, and Billy sees a little potential here.
Hey, happy Valentine's Day, man.
Aw, thank you.
Of course, beautiful. How's your Valentine's Day going?
You know, it's okay.
Why is this okay? You ain't got no special plans?
Well, honestly, my husband's out drinking at the bar, so... Bro, this was the perfect situation for Billy, bro. There's so many things he could say to make a move right here, and out of the infinite combinations of words he could put together, he says...
Well... A man's got a drink, you know?
Yeah, okay, yeah, well, anyways, here you go. Keep the change. Have a good one. Billy fucking sold, bruh. He missed a wide open layup, and as he turns around to head back to his car in shame, Billy gets an idea. A genius idea, if I do say so myself. So Billy turns back around, walks back up to the door, and knocks again. Hey, what's up?
Hey, so, my car, like the pizza car, is on the other side of the cul-de-sac, so if there's any way I could cut through, it would save me like 10 minutes.
Yeah, yeah, of course, come in. And this motherfucker just got his own rebound off the backboard, bro, but he only has 60 seconds on the shot clock to make a move, and so he starts breaking down that professional barrier.
So, what's your name?
My name's Angelina. What's your name?
My name's Billy.
Wow, you have a very beautiful name.
And you have a very beautiful smile.
Ah, thank you. Holy fucking shit, he was cooking, but they had made it to the basement, meaning he only has 30 seconds left before he's back to the cold, lonely outside world. So Billy cooks up yet another genius play.
Angelina, I really hate to ask, but is there any way I could charge my phone real quick? Like, I just need to get it to like 5%.
Of course, honey, sit down. It's no worries at all. This motherfucker, Billy, did it again, bro. Now, I don't know if it's because she just wanted some human connection on his Valentine's night or she was genuinely just being nice, but this motherfucker's now in a position where he's posted up on this woman's couch in her basement at 10 p.m. on a Valentine's night.
Yo, what flavor is that?
Oh, it's mango ice. It's my favorite.
Damn. You think I could take a hit?
Only if I could hit chores.
Oh, shit. I bet.
So as these two fiends are bonding over a little nicotine addiction, Billy's like...
So you said your husband went up to the bar?
Yeah, yeah, he did. To be honest, it kind of hurts, because, like, it just sucks to be alone on Valentine's Day, you know?
Yeah, 100%. I feel you. I don't go to Valentine either. Type shit.
Now, at this very moment, Billy's about to shoot a shot farther than a three-pointer. Farther than a half-court, full-court football field. This was a blindfolded shot from Mars by a six-year-old kid with Down syndrome, bruh.
I mean, shit. We could be Valentine's tonight.
Oh, that's so sweet, but my daughter's upstairs.
Ah, shit, yeah. I get it, but, like, this couch low-key spacious, though.
I mean, it's not that spacious.
Please?
Billy, you're funny. Now, at this moment, Billy's 0 for 3 with these shots. I mean, the defense line was tough. She's got a whole husband and a daughter who's just posted upstairs, probably waiting for that fucking pizza. But to be fair, Billy was still on the court, but his phone was already at a good 3% charge, so he needs a game-winning shot right now, and so he reaches deep into his bag. I'm talking middle school years. He pulls out a shot I never thought I would see in a big 2025.
This flavor's fire. Yo, let me show you a new trick.
Yeah? What is it?
Alright, so it's called a transfer. Basically, me and you just transfer the smoke.
Okay, teach me.
You gotta come closer though, alright?
This motherfucker Billy swished the shot, bro, against all odds. Just 15 minutes ago, he was some bum delivering her Big Caesar's pizza. All of a sudden, now she's hot and ready, bro. And so Billy's making out with some random dude's wife for a good 5 minutes. Then she's like...
Is your phone charged? Yeah, I appreciate it. You know, let me charge everything.
Of course, honey, it's my pleasure.
All right, I'm gonna text you.
Okay, drive safe. And Billy leaves this married mother's house after making out with her as the fucking pizza delivery guy. Bro, what the fuck? Billy, are you dead ass?
I swear to God.
Bro, that story is fucking insane.
I mean, shit. I'm not done, bro.
Cause if there's one thing that Big Caesar's taught Billy, it was how to deliver, bro. So he takes the receipt, boom, takes her number down and texts her. So he drives back to Big Caesar's, goes in, clocks out, hops in a car, drives home, goes inside, showers up, gets out of the shower to check his phone. No response.
Damn.
So Billy tries calling her straight to voicemail. He changes the no caller ID and calls again, and it rings, meaning... She blocked his ass, bro, and I have no clue why she would do such a thing. I mean, like, yeah, she has a husband and, like, a kid and probably another boyfriend on the side, but damn, say something. And that's the moment when he gets a Snapchat notification. Elise has added you as a friend. Now, Elise is the girl he's been talking to on Snapchat, so why would she even have him unadded in the first place? So Billy's like,
you unadded me?
And she just hits him back with a WID.
Shit, I just got off work. What you doing?
Oh, I'm just chilling at home. And then there's a brief pause. Do you know whose house you were just in?
Do I know whose house I was just in? I've been to her house before. She doesn't even live close to...
Wait. And Billy starts piecing everything together. How Elise was moving houses. All the boxes laid out in that woman's house. How Elise's family loved eating Big Caesars. And the woman's daughter... being upstairs the whole time.
Oh, fuck.
Billy hooked up with his girl's mom. Now, we have no clue what her mom told her, because it makes the most sense that she said something along the lines of,
hey, why did the pizza dude take so long?
Elise, I think he was flirting with me. Because let's be honest, what is the other option, bruh?
Hey, why did the pizza dude take so long?
Yeah, no, I mean, I just cheated on your father with the Big Caesar's pizza delivery guy who actually just happens to be your age. So Billy's texting Elise, trying to play it cool, like,
oh, I had no clue that was your house. What are the chances?
And she just says,
yeah. I get my good looks from my mom.
And then she blocked him again, bro. Cause after telling her 100 times that he's not a hoe, he's not a bop, he's not a fuckboy.
I accidentally hooked up with her mom, bro.
Billy. You know I gotta make a video about this, right?
Yeah, I know.
Chug, 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 chug.
Bro, is your way,
just
bro.
One more.
No
chill.
Way.
Yeah, oh, let's shit. Go. Are you good?
Damn.
Blacking out drunk. It's not a fun experience. In fact, it's on the list of the top 3 worst things to experience, ranked just below giving birth. Now, if blacking out drunk is so bad, you may ask yourself, why do so many people do it? And truthfully, there are only a few reasons why one would inflict such a brutal pain on their liver. The first reason is impatience. Some motherfuckers just can't wait the 15 minutes it takes for alcohol to kick in, so they slam back one too many shots. And when that shit hits, that shit hits. Or secondly, peer pressure. I mean, to be fair, you will look cool as fuck for those 3 minutes where you're down in a bunch of vodka. Until you're lonely, gurping into the toilet, reconsidering your life decisions. Or, because it's yet another Valentine's Day, you will spend locked away in your room, drawing little stick men on your computer because you get absolutely zero bitches. Wow, so relatable, am I right? But if you've never been blackout drunk before, let me explain what it's like so you never have to experience it. Phase one, I like to call smooth sailing. This is where you got a few drinks in you, but you're still chilling, or as many like to say, you're tipsy. But say, as you're observing your surroundings, you make an astounding discovery and find out the function has Hennessy. That shit will take you straight to phase two. Sauced. At this point, you're just drunk, bro. You're doing some fuck shit, you're saying some fuck shit, and Lord knows you're probably thinking some fuck shit. Some symptoms that you're in phase two will include sunglasses appearing on your face, the sudden urge to steal traffic cones, hitting the nene, staring in the bathroom mirror for 10 minutes and saying, "Damn, I'm drunk as fuck." Now, it's at this phase whether you decide you're gonna have a cool, fun night, or if you're gonna end up looking like Nate Robinson. Like, when you're offered more alcohol, don't drink that shit. I repeat, do not drink that shit. "Hey, do you want some of my drinks?" "Fuck no." Do you want a sip of my..." Aw, shit, you done fucked up. That's the type of shit that will have you in phase three, which I like to call, "Shit, I don't feel so good." As you can tell by the name, this is where shit starts to go downhill. You go from having a jolly old time to quivering on the floor with your liver fighting for its life. And this is the moment when your memory starts cutting out. You can remember some things here and there, but half of the night simply vanishes. And to be honest, that's gotta be for the better, bro, because I don't know if you wanna remember the pain of being in the downwards dog position while vomiting your guts out. It's not a fond memory. But to get to phase four? God damn, the function would have to have a lot of fucking Hennessy. In order to get this drunk, you gotta be going through some shit. You gotta be in Spain without the S. You gotta be in Champagne without the sham. You gotta be going through some cock and ball torture without the cock and ball part. Or you gotta make a pretty big miscalculation, bro. Either way, you ingested enough alcohol to kill several farm animals, and this is roughly what you're gonna remember. Nothing, bro. You're not gonna remember jack shit. Pretty much 30 seconds after laying eyes on that juicy bottle of Hennessy, you teleported into your bed with a crazy headache and no recollection of what the fuck just happened. Which takes you straight into stage 5. Grief. You go on your phone to ask the homies what happened last night, and the very first thing you see in the group chat leaves you frightened, appalled, in disbelief. "You thought I was killing you? That nigga Munch." Now, I don't know what gremlin takes over your body when you're blackout drunk, but there is no reason I should be throwing my shit back like Ice Spice. Well, on video, like, it's cool behind closed doors and all, but in public, the fuck? And I understand that consuming enough alcohol to make you forget the night completely has horrible effects on your body and kills an unholy amount of brain cells, but like, that's really not even the worst part, bro. Like, my brain can take one for the team, but my dignity? If I see one more video of me dropping that shit to the floor, I'm done, bro. That's it. You wake up the next morning not remembering a single thing, but as you see more videos, read more text messages, collect more data and evidence from that night, you begin to piece together the puzzle of a night that should not be remembered, leaving you in grief. But that's not all, no. Phase 6 is pain. Cause you don't even wanna feel the extent of a blackout hangover. That shit will have you feeling like you got hit by a bus. And shit, you might have actually got hit by a bus, you wouldn't know. Shit will have you feeling like one of those musty old chihuahuas. Now, I don't know exactly what it feels like to be one of these things, but all I know is you don't want to be one of those musty old chihuahuas. I mean, it's not fun waking up all shaky with a throbbing headache and the urge to just stop existing. And every single time you blackout drunk, you tell yourself, "I'm never getting this drunk ever again." Until the moment you realize the function has Hennessy.
Alright, I already touched on the unspeakable things that go down in the high school bathrooms, bro. But there's only one place on earth that is more foul than those bathrooms. And it's the goddamn locker rooms. That room smells like complete and utter dog shit mixed with Axe spray. Like, maybe I just went to school with a whole lot of Discord mods, but the rancid smell of the boys' locker room would contaminate anything in a 50-foot radius. And shit, Lord knows what goes down in that questionable place. Like, you'll walk in there and see anything, bro. Motherfuckers will be having fights, chicken fights, group fights, sword fights. Like, any laws and rules simply don't apply to the boys' locker room. Motherfuckers will be throwing hands, selling drugs, committing arson, committing several counts of fucking tax evasion. Shit, you name it. It's pretty much a GTA lobby in that bitch. Like, I remember one day I walked into PE and my teacher was like,
"Hey, nah, where's your PE strip?"
And I was like, shit, it's in the locker room. So I walk into the locker room and there's just two motherfuckers throwing hands and they just stop and look at me like, oh shit, I'ma just get my backpack and shit. So yeah. Alright, y'all be safe. And then they just went back to beating the shit out of each other. Now listen, I don't spend too much time in the girls' locker room, but anytime I walk by there, that shit smells like rose petals and rainbows. So I can only imagine there's no group fights, no chicken fights. Hopefully no fucking sword fights, and bro, you deadass can't leave shit in the locker room. Like, if you leave anything not locked up, it's gone. These kids are ruthless, bro. They're snatching your wallet, your phone, your clothes. Shit, they're taking your PB&J sandwich. And the thing is, if you want your PB&J back, you're gonna have to get it back in blood, because there's no laws in the locker room. See, if someone snatched my sandwich in math class, I'm turning into 6'9", bro. Mr. Cumminson, Jordan Johnson here, who lives on 123 Stickman Drive, postal code STK53Z, just stole my peanut butter and jelly sandwich my mom made me, so I'ma need his ass suspended. But if you try to tell a teacher about anything that happened in the locker rooms, they don't give a fuck. Mr. Principal, Jordan Johnson just stabbed me and stole my backpack, my phone, my wallet, and my ID.
Damn, I'm sorry to hear that. Where did this happen?
It was in the locker room after PE.
Oh, you said the locker room? You're just gonna have to get it back in blood.
Back in blood? What are you talking about?
Yeah. I'm not gonna lie. The way you're snitching right now, you kinda look like a bitch.
But yo, one time me, Billy, and Bob were coming back to the locker room after some good old dodgeball, and Billy notices a dude rummaging through his backpack. So he's like, yo, what are you doing, bro? But when he turned around, Billy was bamboozled to find out the kid rummaging through his bag, he was special. And there was just this moment of silence. Yo, am I supposed to like beat his ass right now? Or, bro, I'm sure you didn't take anything. Just politely ask for your bag back. Alright, yeah. Oh, hey man, can I get my bag back, please? And the kid just hugged Billy, and then he left. And I'm still confused to this day, but I'ma be honest. Locker rooms weren't all that bad, cause sometimes you'd walk in that hole and they would just be throwing a party. Now, it still smells like ass, and there was literally no females, but it was still kinda lit. Like, you'd walk in there and it would transform into the club.
Shout out my label, that's me. I'm in this bitch with TP. I'm in this bitch with Ultra.
Or you'll walk in there and they'll just be giving out free pizza. Like walking into the locker room is a gamble. You might walk in there and get robbed or you'll get some fucking pizza. I don't know. But what I do know is there's only 10 types of dudes in the locker room. Starting with that one kid who must have thought it was the 1800s the way he was whipping motherfuckers. Next, we got the poor guy who's just trying to change. He's quiet, he's normal, and he changes. It's a locker room, so it makes sense. Then we got that one poor soul who gets absolutely cooked by the entire locker room. Yo,
Why is Kevin built like Mike Wazowski? Bro's got no neck. We're stick men. None of us have neck.
Shut up. You skip neck.
Yeah, he skips neck. Next, we got Bob. Bob's just that guy.